Welcome to Classic Comedy of Old Time Radio. I'm your host, Ron Eckelbarger. Today, I present to you the 115th episode of The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope, with his guest, Humphrey Bogart, which originally aired on June 3rd, 1941.
The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope and his guest, Humphrey Bogart.
Here we are, it's June, folks. Time for Moon and Spoon, folks. And a laugh with all the staff and our Bob Hope.
Thank you. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob, June Bride's Hope, telling you girls that even if you don't get flowers from your feller, if you use Pepsodent, you'll always have white lilies under your smeller. Well, yes, sir, here we are back in Hollywood. Last week, we did our show from Camp San Luis Obispo for the 40th Division, and what a time we had. And from the way those soldiers greeted me, believe me, folks, America's ready. They gave me a souvenir when I left. I'd show it to you, but only it's too soon to take the bandages off. Dorothy L'Amour went up to the army camp with me, and you should have seen Dorothy with those 7,000 men. You should have seen her. I didn't. Dorothy left one of her sarongs up there as a souvenir. I don't know who got it, but that ain't a pup tent the general's sleeping under. Of course, romance is in the air at this time of the year. You can tell June is here. All the girls in Hollywood are sending out their trousseaus to be cleaned and pressed. Again. And everybody's a... That was a sneaky little word, wasn't it? And everybody's getting married. I saw a car driving up the street with a pair of shoes sticking out behind it. I said to the driver, wedding? He said, no, pedestrian. I went to a wedding the other day. It was a typical Hollywood wedding. The bride looked beautiful. She was wearing a long white veil. So long, you could hardly see her slacks. It was a beautiful thing. And the groom was so nervous, his beret fell off. The bride was one of those Hollywood glamour girls. She cut the wedding cake with her fingernails. And the groom was a musician. What a romance they had. He met her during a hot break in the Hutsut song. Hutsut, and what a wedding. What a wedding. The bride was carrying four roses, rather well. And... And the bride's mother and father walked down the aisle with her. It's just like a convoy. It's a pleasure to protect the merchandise. Just the same, you're awfully happy to get rid of it. But it was a lovely spectacle. Two little girls ran in front of the bride, unrolling the red carpet. When they got it all unrolled, there was a groom. But romance is everywhere this month. I went down the beach the other day. The ocean was beautiful. All morning, the surf was glistening with foamy white caps. Then Cecil B. DeMille took his box of Lux and went home. And what a crowd at the beach. A lot of people, you know, change into their bathing suits in their cars. And I think it's disgusting when it's so much easier in the bus. And gee, the new bathing suits the girls are wearing. Aren't they? Boy, what girls. What strapless bathing suits. What confidence. A lot of beautiful girls were there swimming, but Betty Grable beat them all to the raft. And you should see Skinny Ennis in the bathing suit. You know the picture on those ads that say before and after? Skinny looks like the one that says not yet. Skinny was wearing a nice white bathing suit. Later on, we found out it was a piece of spaghetti with armholes. But I want to tell you, Skinny can dive. He did a beautiful swan dive with his arms stretched out, but he got nervous when he started to gain altitude. Say, Bill Goodman, come here.
Yes, Bob. Say, gee, we had a swell time at the beach this weekend, didn't we?
Yeah, and I thought I was dressed exceptionally well for the beach. Why, when I walked out and took off my robe, did you see everybody crowd around me?
Well, after all, Bob, ermine's short. But there certainly were a bunch of pretty girls on that beach.
Yeah, Bill, and the way you stared at them, you should have seen how far your eyes popped out.
Well, maybe they popped out a little.
A little. Bill, one of your bags turned under you. I'll be back.
to pop mine out a little here.
I guess maybe my eyes did pop out a little bit.
Thank you for the feed. A little, Bill. Bill, one of the bags under your eyes turned to the other and said, "We'd better get packed. It looks like they're leaving for the weekend."
Bob, I'm sorry to say this, but, you know, I don't like going to the beach with you. You're too much of an exhibitionist, pretending you were drowning.
Bill, I wasn't pretending. I was really drowning.
Well, all right, but you didn't have to yell, "Help, help, see the road to Zanzibar, help."
Hey, Bill, did you see Skinny Ennis lying on the beach?
Yes, I did. And lying on the beach that way, Skinny looked like a picture.
Yeah, no blood and sand. I want to tell you, there's one man in this program that knows all about swimming, Professor Colonna. Oh, Professor.
Coming. Sneakers.
That did it. Professor, on second thought, I don't see why I should ask you to give our listeners health and swimming hints. You don't seem to have much of a physique.
Now, hold on there, Hope. You can't speak about my physique like that. Did you ever see me in a bathing suit?
Yes, I've seen you in a bathing suit.
Roly-poly, son of a gun, ain't I?
Well, tell me, Professor, when you get into the water, can you swim far?
No, after I swim a few feet, the faucet hits me in the head.
You have gum trouble tonight yourself, huh? Well, have you ever been in over your head, Colonna?
Yes.
What happened?
The Bank of America gave me an extension. Now, just to show you what a great swimmer I am, I'll climb up this 50-foot pole for my famous dive.
Here I am. But, Professor, what are you going to dive into?
Into that cup of coffee.
You mean you're going to dive 50 feet into a cup of coffee?
Yes, sir. Here goes.
What do you know?
No cream.
Look, Colonna. Colonna, why don't you take a powder?
I will if it's Pepsodent. Here's a kid that'll be working next year.
Yes, sir, and Pepsodent tooth powder will be working next year and for years to come to make your teeth brighter. Listen to this.
Pepsodent tooth powder has the power to produce a luster on teeth twice as bright as the average of all other leading brands.
Now, there's a statement that means something. Because it has the backing of several important and authoritative testing laboratories, which conducted tests on all the leading tooth powders. After they finished testing, they all agreed to that statement. It's your proof that Pepsodent tooth powder is the one for you. Well, that is, if you really want your teeth to sparkle and gleam as they never did before.
Right you are, Bill, right. For Pepsodent, with patented composite metaphosphate, can make your smile twice as bright, twice as effective when you turn it on. So, friends, if you're hiding a dull, tight-lipped smile, here's the way to get straightened out. Go to your store now. It's not too late tonight. Go right up to that man and say, "I want that tooth powder that beats the others by a mile. I'm fixing up a bright new smile. Give me a package of that high-polished Pepsodent tooth powder, please."
People all over been asking us this. How about a number that features a miss?
Ooh, old rocking chair's got me. Cane by my side. Hand me that shawl, son, for I tan your hide. Can't get from this cabin. Ain't going nowhere. Just sitting here grabbing at the flies round my rocking chair. Ooh, dear old Aunt Harriet, up in heaven she be. Send me sweet chariot, 'cause the end of trouble I see. Old rocking chair's got me. Judgment day is near. Chained to my rocking chair.
Rocking along.
Thank you.
rocket. Oh, rocking chair's got me. Judgment Day is near. Chained to my rocking chair.
Keep on rocking, rah, rah, rocking, rocking. Keep rocking.
Was our six hits in a minute singing Old Rocking Chair, Where I Belong. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to introduce a very fine actor and the toughest guy on the screen, recently seen in Warner Brothers' High Sierra and The Wagons Roll at Night, Humphrey Bogart.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob.
I'm glad to see you get down off that mountain all right, Humphrey.
Just a minute, Hope. My pals call me Bogey. What do the fellows on this program call you?
There must be some way to answer that and still stay on the air. Oh, pardon me if I'm a little nervous around you, Humphrey. You're so tough. You know, when you walk down the street, the people run into their houses.
Yeah? And then you come on the air and they run right out again.
Just a minute, Bogart. You can't talk to me that way.
What's that? What'd you say?
I don't know. I wasn't listening. But I'm warning you, Humphrey, don't fool around with me.
Why? Do you carry a gun?
You see this hip?
Yeah. What about it?
Bulges, doesn't it? Wait a minute, don't reach for your rod.
I was just kidding, Bob. All I got in my pocket is a handkerchief.
I still think it's a gun.
No, it's a handkerchief. Watch. I'll use it. Bad cold.
Say, huh? You know, 2 weeks ago we had your co-worker, Priscilla Lane, on this program. She just finished a new picture at Warner Brothers, $500,000 Baby.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Bob. Not $500,000. The name of the picture is Million Dollar Baby.
You mean it was before the tax. Say, tell me, Bogey, what picture did you just make over there?
I made a picture called The Wagons Roll at Night.
Oh, you mean like Crosby's Horses? But you're so... killer in this. Oh, for that Norman, anything. But you're so tough in your pictures. Tell me, Humphrey, were you always a mug?
Oh, no, I was the nicest boy in my neauborhood. I always went to school dressed in my cute little Lord Fauntleroy suit, and when I walked down the street, all the neighbors would point at me and say, there's a little rat who blew up the pool room.
Say, I was a tough kid, too. In school, I used to make spitballs and throw them all around the room.
No, you did? You did? Me, too. It only took me a half an hour to make a spitball.
Well, I could make one in a minute.
You mean you didn't wait for the cement to harden?
Humphrey, you're just a mug at heart. You're the kind of guy who would put a mustache in the Mona Lisa.
Oh, no, not me. If he can't raise his own, I'm not going to help him.
Well, I've watched you a lot in pictures, Humphrey. Tell me, doesn't it make your flesh crawl when you stand there pumping bullets into guys, sticking knives into guys' backs, putting guys in wet cement and tossing them in the river?
Oh, no, don't bother me at all. I go right home and sleep like a log if a fuse don't blow.
If a fuse don't blow?
Well, good gracious, you didn't expect me to sleep with the light out. You know, Bob, everybody thinks I'm tough, but I'm not really tough at all. In the evenings, I like to get out in my rock garden.
You've got a rock garden?
Yeah, sure I have. I get the seeds from the government.
Say, my brother's in a rock garden under government supervision, too.
Yeah, he is?
Yeah.
What does he grow?
A little older each year. Tell me, are you going to keep making those gangster pictures over Warner Brothers with George Raft?
Yes. As a matter of fact, George Raft and I would like to have Skinny Ennis in our next picture with us.
Why? What good would Skinny Ennis be in a prison cell?
Well, we could pick the lock with him.
Well, I'll call Skinny over here and have him meet you. Hey, Skinny, come here.
Hiya, fellas.
Skinny, this is Humphrey Bogart.
Well, shut my mouth.
Be careful, Skin. This guy'll do it.
Hiya, Skinny.
Hiya, big shot. What do you have from the mob?
Get a load of public adrenaline, number one.
Oh, Bob, me and Bogey come from the same neck of the woods.
Is that so? Where were you born, Skin?
Nah, he wasn't born. A St. Bernard dug him up.
Yeah, hold on now. Maybe I don't look like so much on the surface. But, man, when you look a little further, you'll find I'm really nothing.
You did it. By the way, Skin, how's your girl?
Oh, she's getting awful hard to handle.
Ah, listen, Skinny, I'll help you. There are two ways to handle a woman. Either you treat her very gently or you treat her very rough.
Well, which is the better method?
Neither. Whichever you use, they still like a guy who owns a Cadillac.
Well, Skinny, you ought to handle your women like Humphrey does. Assert yourself.
I do. Only the other day, I looked my girl in the eye and I said, Woman, you're my woman. And you got to do exactly as I tell you.
Did that make an impression on her?
I guess so. She laughed so hard I fell off her lap.
Well, is your girl here tonight, Skin?
Yeah, Bob, I'll call her.
Hey, Magnolia.
Y'all.
Well, shut my mouth if it isn't Magnolia.
Oh, Mr. Oh, well, shut my mouth.
And this is Mr. Bogart.
Oh, shut my mouth.
And what a business I could do in zippers.
Oh, honest, are you the big bad man that's in the movie?
That's what they tell me, yep.
Well, shut my mouth and pull it way down over my chin.
I would, but I see somebody beat me to it.
Say, you better be careful what you say to her, Humphrey. Skinny worships the ground she crawled out of.
Are you really Humphrey Bogart? The rat who forces his attentions on girls and makes them kiss him and kiss him and kiss him and until the poor things are almost unconscious?
That's me.
See, Skinny, that's what I mean.
Oh, so you finally got around to speaking to me, huh?
I didn't mean to neglect you. How are you, honey lamb?
Oh, he's just fine.
How do you know?
He's using my blood today.
Hey, isn't Mr. Bogart a tough-looking guy?
Oh, he's not so tough.
Oh, no?
No. I dare you to knock this chip off my shoulder.
Magnolia, let me down.
Oh, gosh, Mr. Bogart. I wish Skinny could kiss like you.
Oh, well, what's wrong with Skinny? Does he give you the fatherly kiss or the brotherly kiss or the real sweetheart's kiss?
Well, I don't know. Which is the one where I have to bend down and pick him up after it's all over?
You see, Skinny's the weaker type. I'll show you how to kiss her, Skinny. Come here, dame, and throw your arms around me.
I will not.
Oh, no, I'll show you who's boss around here. That'll show you. Now let me down.
Thank you, Humphrey Bogart, and you'll be back with us in a few minutes, folks. Take it, Skinny.
Keep your thumbs up. What's an elegant way to greet a new day that comes up? Just keep your thumbs up. Don't be Humpty Dumpty when you take a fall. Pull yourself together and climb back again on the wall with thumbs up. That's a very good sign that everything's fine and dandy. So come what may today, raise your voice and shout. You may be down, but you'll never be out of luck if you keep your thumbs up. That everything's fine and dandy. So come what may today, raise your voice and shout. You may be down, but you'll never be out of luck if you keep your thumbs up.
Thumbs up, sing and keep your thumbs up.
That was Skinny Edda singing Thumbs Up. Boy, wasn't that a swell solo, Bill?
Oh, no, that wasn't a solo, Bob. That was a duet by me and Skinny.
Duet? I didn't hear your voice, Bill.
Oh, I don't sing. I just hold Skinny up to the microphone.
Yeah, you stop kidding me, Bill Goodwin. I'm getting sick and tired of this. I got a good mind to wail into you and just tear you apart, you hear me? I'll tear you apart.
Man, I got to lay off them double malted.
Well, now, take it easy, Skin, and you stick to those double malteds, too. Anytime you can get double value, that's money in the bank. Look at the new Pepsodent 50 Tough toothbrush. There's a good example. And Art Baker's the man who can prove it.
Yes, the new Pepsodent toothbrush has 50 tufts of marvelous DuPont Fibrex bristles. Twice as many in a small, compact head as in any other brush. You know what that means? Double the number of tufts, double cleansing power.
You see, the bristles in the new Pepsodent 50 Tough toothbrush are gentler. They're kinder to your gums. They don't have to be stiff and harsh because they depend on union for their strength. 50 Tufts united for strength, yet gentle for a better feel in your mouth.
You don't have to break in this brush at the expense of tender gums. No, sir. You just open the sanitary glass tube it comes packed in. You grasp that handsome, form-fitting, colored handle. You add Pepsodent tooth powder, and then you have the grandest feeling, the most thoroughly effective tooth-cleaning combination in the world. So get a new Pepsodent 50 Tough toothbrush tonight at your favorite store. It's the same price as ordinary brushes, just 50 cents. But what a whale of a difference in the results you get.
Get a Pepsodent 50 Tough toothbrush tonight.
Well, Bogey, here we are in this prison cell. Steel bars all around us, 14 feet of concrete in the walls, 200 guards outside with submachine guns, handcuffs on our wrists, and a steel ball and chain on each of our feet.
Yeah, pal. You know something?
What?
I think they got us.
Well, I don't like it here.
It's your own fault that you're in jail, trying to spend that phony dollar bill that your brother made.
Oh, gee whiz, no one would have known it was counterfeit. Only brother is such a sentimentalist.
Yeah, but it was the first time I ever saw a dollar bill with George Washington dressed as a June bride.
Gee, I wish we could escape.
Yeah, so do I. Say, you broke out of this jail once, didn't you?
Yeah, but they caught me all on account of that big searchlight.
Well, did they flash the searchlight on you when you went over the wall?
Yeah, and like a dope, I took a bow.
Gee, you know this prison is off.
Yeah! Stand it, I tell you. I can't stand it. Every day, bread and water, bread and water, bread and water. I can't stand it.
Well, why not?
Well, gee whiz, can't I have just one piece of Melba toast?
Say, listen, Bogey. We got to get out of here. My trustworthy pal, Professor Cologne, is going to help us escape. I think he's on the outside now.
Hope. Hope. Yes. Are you locked in the cell? Steel bars all around? Manacled, hand and foot?
That's right, Cologne.
What do you do when you have a bite?
Hey, Professor, have you got the tools to help us escape?
Yes, I'm baking them in a cake right now. I'd better see if that cake is done. I'll pitch it. Hostess cake.
Cologne, hurry and get us out of here.
Listen, Hope, why are you so anxious to get out of jail?
Well, since I've been in jail, I've been hearing queer rumors. I hear that someone's trying to get my job with Pepsodent, and someone's been making calls to Shanghai on my phone and throwing wild parties at my house, and that someone's been taking my girl out every night.
Ah, yes.
I've been a busy little bee, haven't I?
Oh, Cologne, you go to my head.
No, I was there yesterday, and there was nobody home.
Bogey, Cologne will never get us out of here. We got to make the best of it. Gee, all we got is one pack of cigarettes.
How long are we in for?
99 years.
You think we need some more cigarettes?
No, these are the slower-burning kind. You know, Humphrey, my dear old Ma was supposed to come and visit me here today. Gee, I hope she can make it. It's a long walk from her cell.
Hello, son.
Oh, hello, Ma. Why, Mother, let me look at you. Is your hair turning gray?
No, I just had a big beer with a lot of foam on it.
Hey, why didn't you bring Junior with you? I don't see him around anymore.
No, the parole board picked up his option.
Say, Ma, how's Paul?
They hung him a few days ago.
Oh, well, I thought they hung him last Thursday.
They did, but they cut him down so he could hear Rudy Valley.
Did they hang him right after that?
Yep. Him and Rudy signed off at the same time. And I'm signing too. So long, son.
So long, Ma. So long.
Oh, the last mile. It's terrible, that last mile. Oh, that last mile.
Gee, Is he going to be electrocuted?
No, he went for a drive on Decoration Day.
Hey, fellas, I'll be with you in a minute. But first, I'm going to do a good deed. I'm rescuing someone right from the electric chair.
Kelowna, don't try to rescue anyone from the electric chair. The current may be on.
It's all right. I'll just grab him out quick. Well, I always wanted to see how I'd look with my head up.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob, what's going on in the next cell there?
Why, they're giving you a third degree to Mendel the mug.
I won't talk. Ouch! I won't tell you. Ouch! I won't tell you.
Gee, that guy must have a pretty important secret.
Yeah, he knows all the words to the Hutt's Hut song.
Oh, my. Here I am, fellas, and drink is my curse. You know, I've had so many martinis, I'm breaking out in small olives.
Hey, Andy Knox, what are you doing here?
What am I doing? Well, how do you like that? They put me in jail for being drunk. Me, who's absolutely sober. Sober with a capital stove.
You're sober?
Sure I am, but they're giving me the drinker's test, see?
The drinker's test?
Yeah, I got to sit at one end of the table, and at the other end of the table is a bottle of scotch. Now, I've been sitting there all afternoon, and the question is whether I went over and took a drink or not.
I see.
Yes, sir, that's the question. And that's the answer.
Say, come here.
Yes, sir.
Say, Canadian Club, what are you in jail for?
Oh, I gotta confess, Mr. Hope, I did a terrible thing, a horrible thing. I killed a midget.
You killed a midget?
Yes.
That's an awful thing to do. How'd you kill him?
Oh, the poor little fella. When I think of his eyes, he drowned. He did. It was my fault, too.
Well, how was it your fault?
Well, there was a fly in my beer, and just kidding, I told him it was the seaplane for Hawaii.
Bob, I don't know why they let drunks in this jail.
Neither do I. Why don't they stay in their cars where they belong?
Say, Hope, still in jail?
Yes.
Tight little script, isn't it?
Come on, Kelowna. How are you going to get us out of this jail?
Well, I'm up above you on the roof. I shall drop a rope down past your window. Then the three of us will slide down the rope when I count three.
Let me get this straight, Kelowna. You're up there on the roof. You're going to drop a rope down past our window. Then the three of us will slide down the rope when you count three.
That's right. Ready? One. Two, three.
Hey, Kelowna, what happened? We all fell down. Even the rope fell down. Didn't you have the rope tied securely?
Sure, look. It's still around my waist.
Good night to all who tune our humor hall. Our thanks for dialing in. The cast and crew all send their best to you. Till next time that we begin. Thanks, Humphrey Bogart. Your art with a villain's part held us from the start. To the end. Use Pepsodent, folks. It's
I should stick to the Hutt's Hut song. Next Tuesday night, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be broadcasting from La Jolla, California. We're all going down to Camp Callan and entertain the boys of the Coast Artillery. And boy, we're going to have Birth of the Blues. Mary Martin will be with us to sing for the boys. And believe me, they'll like Mary Martin down there. So until next week, this is
Bob Hope.
Yes, sir.
And, Bob, I understand next week, by the way, next Monday, in fact, you'll be on the Lux Radio Theater with Carol Lombard.
Yeah, we're going to do Mr. and Mrs. Smith for old Cecil B. DeMille. I think we'll have a lot of fun there.
Wonderful, Bob.
Good night.
This is Bill Goodman speaking for President. It's the National Broadcasting Company.
Humphrey Bogart was born on Christmas Day, 1899. And he was a gift to the world. He joined the Navy when he turned 18, which was toward the end of World War I. After the war, he started acting on Broadway for about 10 years or so. He began his screen career about 1930, and for 10 years he played a lot of gangsters, until 1941 when he landed the starring roles in the films High Sierra and The Maltese Falcon. Those made him a big star. The films that he has starred in his career, are among the best of the 40s and 50s. Casablanca, To Have and Have Not, The Big Sleep, Dead Reckoning, Dark Passage, The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, Key Largo, The African Queen, The Caine Mutiny, and Sabrina. He won an Oscar for Best Actor for his performance in The African Queen in 1951. Now, perhaps you've heard about Bogie and Bacall. Well, Bogie, Humphrey Bogart, met Lauren Bacall in 1944 while they filmed To Have and Have Not. They got married in 1945. She was 19 and he was 44, and it was Bogie's fourth marriage. But it lasted until he died of esophageal cancer in 1957. In 1999, the American Film Institute ranked him as the greatest male star of American cinema. He truly was a cultural icon. That's it for today. Please join us next Wednesday for another show with Bob Hope, and come back on Friday for another episode of The Life of Riley. Please send your questions and comments to host@classiccomedyotr.com and check us out at our website by the same name, classiccomedyotr.com. So until Friday, in the immortal words of Vince Lombardi, the difference between a successful person and others is not a lack of strength, not a lack of knowledge, but rather in a lack of will.